T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on the Score.
That is the voice of Kenny Williams saying the White Sox could not go to that level, but they did go to the $250 million level, and with incentives that we don't know what they are, they could have gone to the $350 million level. Not a good look, in my opinion,
yeah,
for the White Sox.
Weren't going to guarantee Manny Machado $300 million. They had their offer. They weren't budging off of that. And a lot of Sox fans disappointed, obviously. And we got our hopes built up. I understand why everybody is wringing hands over it today, because all signs indicated it was the White Sox. Everybody thought it was the White Sox. They were the favorite to land Machado and didn't.
If the result of what he signed for was a surprise, then I wouldn't be critical of the White Sox missing out. But everyone knew that the goal was $300 million and that was the length of the race, if you will. It's like if you get into a marathon and you run 22 miles, yeah, running 22 miles is impressive. The race is 26.2.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels odd that the White Sox would commit all of those resources, all of that time, to get into a game, to then come out and say, our offer was actually better, but we weren't able to make the offer how he wanted it.
He didn't want to gamble. They were asking him to gamble on his production, and he said, basically, why would I do that? It's being guaranteed by San Diego.
Correct.
I'd rather have 300 guaranteed than possibly 350. If everything goes right and I check all these boxes, I'll make a little bit more.
And that's the part where I just think that something doesn't align. When he says we couldn't go to 300 because we wanted to build out a team, but they had something in writing that potentially could get to 350 over a shorter period of time, mm-hmm. or the vesting options would have kicked that into the 10 years. But still, it's like, how does that make sense? You have less than $30 million committed to next year's payroll. You could have afforded it. Hopefully they sign a bunch of big names. Not this year. I'm sure it won't be this year. But hopefully next year they bring in Paul Goldschmidt or Nolan Arenado, who apparently is working on an extension with the Rockies. But
how old is Arenado?
He's
27?
I think so. I think he's a little
27, yes.
Yeah, so it will be 28 when he hits free agency, or it'll be 27 when he hits free agency.
He's listed as 27 now.
So he's 27 now.
Okay. Next opening day will be 28.
Okay.
Okay, then you can move Moncada back to second base. Pop, go the White Sox.
This hour on the Score brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago. Mahershala Ali, by the way, best supporting actor.
He has a nomination. He is nominated for Green Book as well. He should be.
I haven't seen it yet. He's going up against Adam Driver from BlacKkKlansman, Sam Rockwell from Vice, Sam Elliott, A Star Is Born, and Richard E. Grant from Can You Ever Forgive Me?
Okay.
So that's
and I have zero moral conflicts with any of those guys, Danny.
I'm staging a protest against A Star Is Born.
Thanks for walking me through that.
I was like, okay, you have a moral issue with A Star Is Born on some level.
Yes, I have a moral issue with anything Bradley Cooper does.
It just seems like an odd protest.
It's just, you know, do something on your own. Everything's a comic book come to life or a remake these days. How about some original thoughts, peeps?
You should check out Vice.
I will.
It's original.
I will. It is original, right? And I love Christian Bale, so I will.
Yeah, good acting performances. Little stop and go with the movie, but I will be shocked if it wins Best Picture. But as a fan of Bale, you should see it. John in Woodridge, thanks for calling. You're on the Score.
Hey, Danny. Hey, Mac. How are you?
Good, John.
I'm doing pretty loud. I'm doing pretty lousy. Thank you.
Oh
no, what happened?
Well, real quick, I wanted to say thank you for having me up to the Super Bowl party. And Danny, I hope you're enjoying the Gentleman Jack.
Oh, thank you.
Right now.
Yeah, delicious.
I'm willing to, or not willing to, I'm thinking about changing my fandom to the Cubs. That's how mad I am. I've been a White Sox fan my whole life. I'm 43. And this is just another disappointment in the 43 years of being a White Sox fan. It's not the person itself, Manny Machado, or who, it's the kind of caliber player that doesn't come here. And I just think they dropped the ball, and I'm tired of hearing Kenny Williams' excuses and this and that. It's just a big joke.
You're not really going to become a Cubs fan, are you?
I all my friends are Cubs. I am really seriously thinking about it, honestly. I understand the emotion.
Yeah, John, don't burn anything. Give it away. Give it to a kid. I understand the desire to go to the other side. Truly, I do. I felt similarly, but I was 13 when the Cubs traded Billy Williams. You're a grown man, John. Come on, get a hold of yourself. Pull it together, young.
It's just very disappointing. I really am. I haven't been this disappointed in the Sox in a long time. It's like I said, it's not Manny Machado, or it's that kind of caliber player that they could have had if they. I don't understand with that contract situation. Just give them the $300 million. And they have plenty of, if they have a payroll of what is it, $90 million almost, and what are they allotted, 206 or something like that? I mean, come on.
Yeah, their payroll right around, what, 84-ish this year, I think. I think it's right around 84.
Yeah, I have it right here. In terms of salary for this year, oh, God, now this thing's not adding up. I don't
Well, I got bad news for John. If he's looking for free agent acquisitions, I don't think the Cubs are going to be in that market either. So
yeah, thank
that's
you.
What you're hoping for.
Yeah,
that's true, too.
Well, yeah, trust me, it's easier on our side, John. I can assure you that.
I'm just very frustrated today, and I wanted to make my first call to you guys and just rant about the White Sox.
Well,
I'm going to plan on being a regular caller. I know you don't have much more texters and all that kind of stuff.
John,
hopefully I'll be a good caller.
Good luck. Don't drink too much of that Jack at one time, man. Keep your head up, all right?
All right, man. Take it easy, guys.
All right.
Thanks.
Oh, wow.
One less guy in front of me in line for the sausage and peppers, Mac. See ya.
When an ugly is sweet line just got shorter. Enjoy your bison burger.
Now I got a chair for my coat and my bag.
At what point does it become really, I don't know, really just flat out childish to flip allegiances because of something your team did or did not do?
He won't.
But he sounded dead ass serious, didn't he?
Yeah, but everyone, no one in the moment does it.
I'm going to become a Cubs fan. How old are you? I'm 43. I mean, I hadn't just barely reached puberty when the Cubs made Billy Williams an Oakland A. And I'd been leaning in the Sox direction anyway, largely because of the broadcasters, Harry Carey and Jimmy Pearsall. But I'm a 43-year-old man. I'm done with you.
It's amazing. It is amazing. In terms of, according to SpotTrack right now, they have just over $80 million in salary committed to this year. They have a whopping $25.6 million committed of salary to next year's team. Kelvin Herrera, 8.5. Wellington Castillo, 8. Nate Jones just over 5, Tim Anderson at 4. Now, obviously,
okay, so the 2020 White Sox are going to feature either Mike Trout or Nolan Arenado.
Well, Trout's a free agent when 2021.
Oh, we got to wait another year for him. Okay,
yeah, got to wait 2 years for him.
Oh, okay, we can do that.
Okay, you got that kind of patience?
They've never paid a guy more than $70 million. They're throwing $250 million out there, and people are burning their caps.
Yeah, because it costs $300. You sit down at a poker table that it costs $300 million to sit down at. You only sit down with $250 million. You're the short stack. It's still a lot of money, but it's the short stack.
Yeah, you're right. They're at the table, but it's not like Jamie and Charlie when they walked in J.P. Morgan Chase to get an ISDA. You know, to seat at the big boy table. Remember where they had
this
their
is a deep cut of the Big Short? Yeah, but yeah, I'm with you.
They had their $30 million, and that arrogant kid said, "Well, you're only short by $1,470,000,000, but keep coming, come back way down the line." lane.
Yeah, they're not that short.
Right.
But, you're a little short.
They weren't waiting in the lobby like they were.
No,
in
they that, were invited up.
Yes, they had were invited meeting. Up. They had a seat. That's right. They played ball, and they should have nothing but your respect.
Dave in Lake Geneva's on the score.
Wow. Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. You know, I was pretty hopeful that the Sox were going to land Machado, but I just had my doubts like the whole time about it, whether kind of felt like both the Harper, you know, and the Machado camp were kind of using the White Sox as leverage. You kind of got the feeling the Sox were never going to go to $300 million. That was just the feeling and all the rumors that were going on. And it sounded like the price tag to buy these guys was $300 million. So obviously the Machado camp's in there. Yeah, the White Sox are they're in the lead right now. But you got Machado's dad right when the Padres come out as as potential suitors for him, saying, "Well, I think Machado might go somewhere that we're not sure." It kind of feels like the White Sox kind of lost a game. Like they're bluffing. That's what it smells like to me. That they're sitting there like, okay, well, even if the Padres offered you $300 million, we're standing pat here. And, the Machado camp called the bluff. The main thing that's disappointing to me, it's not so much if this makes sense to you, it's not so much the fact that the Sox lost out on the player as it is to the fact that they lost out to the San Diego Padres, to me, for this guy. That's what's more embarrassing. Even though Machado makes them a better team, get them closer to the World Series, it's like, God, this wasn't the Yankees or the Red Sox. This is the damn San Diego Padres.
That was my feeling on it too, is that it felt like you lost out on a technicality with money to a team that was on your tier, as opposed to getting blown out of the water by a big boy.
Yeah, same type of team. Everything is about the farm system in the future, and there's not a whole lot of there with the big league roster at this point. But they do have the sales pitch of wonderful weather, one of the greatest cities in the country to live in, if that sort of thing matters to you.
And they guaranteed him the most money. So
yes, they did.
There's that.
$50 million more.
This texter is...
I know what you're laughing at. He's right.
What the hell is Mac laughing at? He is a 60-year-old man who wants to take a coffee maker out back and give it an ass whooping. Called someone juvenile at 43 for changing teams.
That's a good point by you, Texter. I'm 58. I'll be 58, right? Will I be 58 or 50?
You told me you're 57
earlier.
Yeah,
today. I'm 57. I'll be 58 in August, so not quite 60.
Protesting Oscar movies and beating up coffee makers.
Yep.
Nothing if not consistent on this show. Let's go to Barrington and welcome Kevin to the score.
Gentlemen, I don't know where to start, and I really don't know what to think. Part of me
makes you a great caller.
I know, right?
I heard a guy earlier today on the radio say I can't put it into words, and I'm thinking, perfect. Glad you're first in line.
That's where we're at as White Sox fans today. Part of me, and I think it's a self-defense mechanism, is it's more than just one player. It's about the collection of players. However, you want the collection of players to be the most talented, and Machado certainly would have been a part of that. So now that we have hindsight, it gives us 20/20 vision on this. So you get to play the game of what if. So my question really is: had the White Sox not gotten so cute with their offer, and if they had just come out of the gates with a $10-year, $300 million offer, would it have just gotten done at that point in time earlier in the off season? And we wouldn't have even had to introduce the Padres, because if I understand the stories correct, the longer this went on, the Padres were able to come up with different sources for funds to be able to make this happen.
I think that it is fair to...
That's a fair question.
Yeah, I think it is fair to say that the White Sox got a little cute with their offer. I mean, Rick Hahn himself said he was proud of the creativity in their approach of getting this guy, from their marketing department to the digital team that put together the recruitment video for him to all the things that they did. And then when you're talking about...
He might be right.
I'm sure he is right.
Yeah, if your owner says, I'm not paying $300 million guaranteed, you got to be creative.
So they said, okay, we'll get 8 years, we'll get $250. If Jerry Reinsdorf said, we're not doing 10 years, we're not doing $300 million, he goes, okay, we'll do $8,250. We'll give the opt out. We'll sign the brother-in-law. We'll sign the best friend. We'll give you the vesting options. We'll give you, we're giving you all these other, the vesting options come in if you get the triple crown and the MVP or whatever it is. They put a creative offer together. It just didn't work. Wasn't enough money.
No, it wasn't enough money. I think the effort was noble, but noble efforts don't get you the guy you want. The White Sox clearly not of the mindset to guarantee that type of cash. I don't think it'll change anytime real soon.
In what way?
Well, there's another guy who's going to cost more than that out there, and I don't think the White Sox are a player.
Oh, I don't think the White Sox are going to get Bryce Harper either. They're going to break that Jose Abreu contract for the largest contract they've signed.
I hope so.
They'll do that soon. I would assume next offseason.
They'll have to, right?
I would think.
What happens if they don't?
I mean, I don't want them to spend money just to spend money.
Well, no, of course.
Because, I think it sounds like Arenado. If I were Nolan Arenado, I would sign that extension because his splits are not particularly favorable outside of Coors Field. So I don't think they're going to sign Nolan Arenado. Mike Trout is 2 years away, so I don't want them to spend just to debunk the narrative, babe. So,
Well, no, but they're going to have to sign good players at some point.
Eventually, yeah.
When?
Why? Why?
Plenty of players out there now they could sign if they wanted to. Dallas Keuchel's still out there.
Yeah, there's more than 60 players who don't have teams, aren't there?
Yeah, I don't know that given how much they have in terms of prospect inventory at starting pitcher, I don't know that that's what I would do. You spend a huge amount of money on a starting pitcher.
You're not ready for a starting pitcher yet. In a year or two down the road, if you want to spend big money, and that's something they historically have been reluctant to do, especially when it comes to multi-year deals, that's when you do it. They're not ready to spend them. I wouldn't want to waste a guy's best years anyway right now. They're not prepared to win right now or even next year.
Yeah, I'd be surprised. Do you? Has there been anything about that, the Sox and Keuchel?
No, I think that's one of those dominoes that would fall after today, but
yeah.
If signing a guy like that, all of a sudden you have some things to play around with your prospects. You could package a trade for somebody else, think creatively.
They've got a lot of prospects. They're not in a horrible position long term. It just sucks today. Shep, what do you think of the move? We haven't heard much from you today.
Well, it sucks for White Sox fans. I mean, you look at that part of it and it's just they don't expect him to come, but the Rawlings thing comes out, and we kind of joked about it a couple times of like, man, if he doesn't take the Sox at this point when all the Vegas odds are pointing this way, it's going to be a tough look or a troll job or whatever you want to call it. But then the news comes out from Rosenthal today, and it's, yeah, your team didn't go to bat, didn't go. I mean, you can throw the dilly bars towards them all you want, but that's all it is. Yeah. It's like you were $50 million short in guaranteed money. Like, that's not just some small, your escalators, they could have gotten you, your incentives could have gotten you there and passed there. It's like those could have been ridiculous escalators or ridiculous incentives that are just maybe not likely or hard to kind of have your confidence in, even if you do trust yourself as a player.
Yeah, they weren't guaranteed.
It seems like they said one thing and acted another. Like, I have trouble believing they really thought that 250 was going to be enough to get it done.
And it feels like a half measure.
But they're going to tell you it wasn't 250.
300 or 350, yeah.
That's what their response would be. It was more than 250.
Guaranteed money, and we say it in every sport. The guaranteed money is what matters.
It mattered to him.
And it matters to most.
And I'm with Shep. It seemed like the longer this thing went, the more it seemed like a certainty. Now, I don't know if that's people trying to think it into existence, if that's how they felt in Philadelphia or the Yankees fans, if that's how that, because the longer it went, the more it felt like it was happening here.
Well, I think part of it's that he had said, or his people or the news had said that, he wants to be a New York Yankee. And so the Yankees just, their name just kept not being mentioned and it wasn't being brought up. You're like, all right, well, if it's not the Yankees, then the Sox, it seems like they're as much of a favorite as anyone. And then voila, they get outbid by a significant margin by the Padres, and that's that.
That is
and
that.
That's that.
Exactly. Hub Argus in 20 minutes. More on this coming up. It's Mac and Park. It's on the Score.
If it makes you feel any better, White Sox fans are livid.
Good.
Right
makes
now.
Me feel great.
Also 1090 in San Diego? Okay. Gotta get the other side of the coin. I still like the woman who called into the station.
Oh,
like,
she's done with the Padres for life.
Them.
Yeah.
Done with them.
I've been following this team for 30 years and I'm done. I've had it.
It's not us. And you guys are trying to force this player. This is one of the reasons why I stopped being a Dodgers fan way back in the day.
Because those, they started collecting really good players.
Those damn radio hosts in San Diego forcing Manny Machado on their fans when their team signs them.
I'm wondering, you guys are happy about Manny Machado being in the Padres, but at the same time, I feel like it's going to be like Albert Pujols with Anaheim and Robinson Cano with the Mariners.
It sounded like Terry Bors saying,
don't like it.
Don't like it. Just don't.
Can't do it, buddy.
Didn't want him.
You're netminders.
You know, God. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you
feel like a room without a roof. I guess we're just going until I collapse. So. Bennett Woods, hour number five this morning on San Diego Sports Leader. The Mighty 1090. Couldn't have done this good like news. At 7:30.
We're getting paid extra, though, right? That's hell yeah.
Hey, if you've got thoughts, we're going to try to bring in staff, a little roundtable, Darren. Discuss the big news this morning. Manny Machado agreeing to a 10-year, $300 million contract with the San Diego Padres. That is such a bizarre-sounding headline.
Yes, it is. I get the same thing.
Can't disagree with that.
Yes, it is.
Glad they decided to do the fifth hour today. That's nice of that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They were supposed to have Stephen A's show, but you know what? We'll stay. I guess it's worth staying, Manny Machado. Imagine doing 5 hours.
It's crazy.
God, that's nuts.
Every day, 5 hours? Although, in fairness, in a one-team town, that would be really tough.
Yeah. I've gotten used to it, I think. It's taken a while, but I've gotten used to it.
Convince yourself of that at least until the Cubs get us our first early out.
No question. You don't think I don't have that marked on my calendar already?
Opening day is March 28th.
The first Thursday night.
Pre-game starts at 2:35.
The first Thursday night when there's a full moon or a new moon and the Cubs have a 1:20 on Friday, my son and I will be on the water at 10 p.m. overnight fishing for muskies by moon, and then grab a nap between, I don't know, 7 a.m. and 11, and then come into work.
It's beautiful.
For postage. Post.
That's the privilege of the time slot.
Yes, it is.
It's incredible. You know, and it's funny, like, listening to those guys in San Diego, like, sure, there's risk in a 10-year contract. There's risk that it might not work out. I get being somewhat skeptical, but you can't deny that he makes you better. It's a step in the right direction.
Where was the level of optimism in San Diego over Machado? It was the highest here, probably seconded by Yankees fans.
Yeah, and then I think Philly.
Third, Philly, I would say.
And I think Philly fans had the highest expectation of one of the two.
One of the two, right.
Because their owner was willing to go on the record and say, I'm prepared to spend stupid money.
I would think if you're a Padres fan, you wake up to that news today, it's complete, by and large, unexpected, you'd be happy.
Of course. Well, and you're like, okay, we got one team in town, and they're doing everything they can to win. Top three farm system in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, they paid Eric Hosmer $140-something million. Now, he was terrible in year one out there. But, I mean, they paid Will Myers. They paid Hosmer. They've got a great farm system. Now they're paying Machado. Immediately, there's a report that they're still in on Harper. Like, they're not messing around with what they're trying to do right now.
Okay.
They're going for it.
Yeah. I would think you'd be jumping up and down if you're a Padres fan.
Yeah, as the only team in that city, I would think so as well. 312-644-6767. In Houston, Texas, Ted has been holding patiently. Ted, you're on the score.
Yep. White Sox fan in Texas. Guys, I was at my psychiatrist when this went down, so he took care of me. Here's what I want to say, though. Going forward, you know, when you listen to Rick Hahn today and what he's been saying, here's a checklist. He talks about premium talent being at the table. What are the odds that we're going to have a guy who I feel that their peak years are still ahead of them, you know, and 10 years, no doubt. But I am going to talk about the White Sox and Jerry and Rick going out and getting Harper. And I'll say it because I feel like Harper is more of a national brand. I think they'll make money there. What are the odds of the Yankees, Dodgers, Cubs, all these other big, they're tight. They're not doing anything this year. So when other premium talents become available, it's always going to be, it could be a Dodger swoop in, or the Giants could be back soon reloading, you know? So I think that
the stars have aligned where, and there's also a lot of reports.
But you think they're getting Harper? Is that what you're saying? You think the Sox are getting Harper?
No. Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying there's a lot of reports that Harper is hesitant about Philadelphia. And maybe he is. I know he'll take the bigger money. Scott Boras always talks to his clients. But I'm just saying, give him something to think about. And if there's any reporting to there, I'm hoping there's some truth to that. He likes Chicago. Why not? Why not just go out and sit there and say, you know what? I mean, this has to be the best time for the White Sox. Tell me in the next 3 years when these other teams or other players are available that this won't be the best opportunity that the White Sox won't be able to strike on a guy going at age 27. His next 5 years are going to be his best years.
Well, yeah, that was why it was such a great opportunity. But Ted, how did your psychiatrist counsel you today as a Sox fan?
No, he just gave me medication.
That'll fix it. Yeah, better living through chemistry. Chemistry. Look, if they won't guarantee $300 million for Machado, what in your right mind would make you think they're going to do more than that for Harper? They're not going to that number.
Well, because here's the thing. Well, I see what you're saying, but look at the we didn't know about the Padres swooping in. We didn't know really what the exact numbers are, with Machado. I mean, if you're hearing reports on incentives of $350 million, that's saying, hey, so they're looking at it like, hey, he could have made $350 million. What if, I'm just saying, why not just say the heck of it?
Maybe they will, maybe they won't.
That's how business works. The heck with it. If you can't beat him, join him. Give him the vault.
Ted, yes or no, did the White Sox missing out on Manny Machado come up in therapy today?
Did it? No.
Okay, good.
Okay, good.
Good, 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 good.
Be well, buddy. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounded like it.
Unhappy in Houston.
That's right.
Love the idea of that guy in the office. Doc, each day of my life is worse than the day before. Right. Hey, did you see the Padres got Machado? It's not professional to be on your phone, Doc.
Oh, God, it's so ridiculous. I love our job.
Why would they go after Harper? If you're not going to guarantee $300 million and you really wanted Machado, what would make anybody think they're going to guarantee Bryce Harper $350 million?
Is he good friends with John Jay?
You see, that's another thing. they signed a bunch of guys he doesn't like. I don't know.
Pick what? We got time for one more call before Hub. You can pick it.
Let's try Ron in South Bend next up on the score. Hello, Ron.
Hi, guys. I'm obviously very surprised as well. I think this is a bigger deal than we think it is. I think this was relevancy within Chicago and certainly throughout baseball. They need to get relevant again. And I know they have a great farm system, but that's not a guarantee. Nothing's a guarantee. But, me and my White Sox fans, we have discussions about 10 years from now when that lease is up in that building. I mean, are they going to pull some more crap like they did in the 80s? And threaten to move. I mean, they need relevancy, and they need it now.
So you're worried that it's going to be the Las Vegas White Sox.
Sign Bryce Harper.
Well, I'm just saying they need to get relevant, and they need to get people in the gate. They need to get butts in the seats. And I mean, I'm just saying this was their chance to prove with a 26 year old generational talent that they could. Come to bat with the big boys with a contract, and they let the San Diego Padres outbid them. So I'm not happy with it. I don't know where they go from here other than rely on the farm system.
No, that's what they're going to do. I think they're going to sit out free agency for the most part. They'll say, hey, we got flexibility going forward, and we are going to be at the table again for marquee free agents. And if they keep going with vesting options and incentives instead of guaranteed money, they'll be the bridesmaid instead of the bride.
It is assumed the White Sox put bodies in the seats if they sign Manny Machado. I don't know why people assume that.
Well, there's no history to suggest that.
No, there isn't. Even when the team is really good, it takes White Sox fans an awfully long time before they get motivated to go. I mean, go to the extent of flirting with the 2 million fan mark, right?
Yes. We saw that in 2005 and 2006.
Yeah, I mean, the last half of 0-5, it was pretty full. But I've seen other years where they're in first place or flirting with first place, and it's May and it's June, and there's 10, 15,000 empty seats. And there were stars on the field then. Frank Thomas was one of them. Jack McDowell was one of them.
I still think a huge part of this is that Kenny Williams spoke and said that they could not go to that level of $300 million. In terms of, it's not just that you lost out on him. It's that you're also saying, yeah, we got into a game that actually ended up being over our heads.
Yeah.
Well, but the Padres could go to that level. Like, I just think that's
Jerry. That's got to be Jerry. That's got to be his boss telling him, I will not pay $300 guaranteed million on principle.
Well, then you weren't in the game.
And you're not going to be in the game.
That's why they had to get creative. That's why they had to play with numbers and try to make, you know, do all these little bells and whistles and, you know.
Like, if that doesn't change, though, then write off Arenado, write off these, whoever it is.
Write off Trout.
Any superstar, like any legit, like, 6-7 win type player, write them off if you're not going to even consider going into that territory.
Which is why it was weird that Kenny said one thing and Rick said another. Rick said there was no number. There was no line that they couldn't hit. That was what he said at the very end of his presser. But Kenny said, we weren't comfortable. We couldn't get to $300 million. Okay, well, which one is it? Is there a player in a circumstance that you'd go over that number for and it just wasn't Machado? Okay, fine.
You're going to build everyone's hopes up for Harp.
It's not that's not happening. We'll talk to Hub Arkish next on The Score.
Hub Arkish with McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
Hub Arkish with us in studio on The Score. We will get to Hub in just a second because Bob Nightingale, who has a direct line to the Reinsdorfs, the national baseball reporter at USA Today, has some details on the White Sox offer to Manny Machado. Says the White Sox final offer to Machado was an 8-year, $250 million guarantee with a $35 million option in 2027 and a $35 million option in 2028, making the potential total worth $320 million. The option years vested with 550 plate appearances the previous season. So how I read that is he could have made an extra $20 million total, but he could not be hurt when he was 33 or 34
sure.
for even a short period of time, or else those options wouldn't kick in. So he got an extra $50 million of guaranteed money from the Padres than the White Sox were willing to give. So the Padres' offer was better. The Padres' offer was clearly better.
It was better. The White Sox offer was more than reasonable. However, I would defend them on that. Ultimately, it's a failure because they didn't land him. But I think that's about as well as they could be expected to do.
What do you think, Hub? You're a big baseball fan.
I think that we have gotten so caught up in the chase and so caught up in the desire to see the White Sox do something like this that Sox fans are going to need a week or two to realize this is the best thing that ever happened to them. There is no way on God's good earth that I am guaranteeing either $250 million or $300 million to a guy who says hustle's not my thing.
I knew that would be part of your charge.
This is not the guy you want to spend the money on. And you got to take a step back from this. That is actually the most important part of it. And everybody's making it the less important piece. Whether they were saved from themselves or whether this was part of the plan all along, I don't know. But I do think it's the best thing that's ever happened to the Sox.
All right. Well, we'll get back into the Machado stuff in a little bit. Do you think one, both, or neither of Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham are moving this offseason?
Well, I mean, the Giants are on record as saying Beckham's not. I don't know why that continues to be a conversation. He says he doesn't want to go. They say they don't want to get rid of him. They've worked out the contract piece of it. So I just don't know why he would move unless, he, you know, maybe Pat Shurmur's not a Beckham guy and they're trying to increase his value by saying nice things about him. But I hear no momentum whatsoever for him to be moved. I think with Antonio Brown, I've been trying to get more information today. I've been buried in some other business stuff, budgets and whatever. I know he met with Rooney. He's saying that they agreed he should be dealt. There's a picture of them waving on Twitter, but I still have not heard a quote from Rooney to say, you know, we're committed to dealing him. This becomes very problematic, and it's not unlike the Machado situation for different reasons. Antonio Brown is a first ballot Hall of Famer. I know not all wide receivers are, but if this guy's not, there's something wrong. He's earned that. But he's also, when training camp opens, going to be a 31-year-old, 180-pound wide receiver who's been healthy throughout his career, but a lot more brittle the last 2 years, which you would expect at his age, who's going to bring with him about a $25 million price tag for the last 2 years of his deal. He signed for this year and next year. There's no great cap pain. The Steelers would have to eat the pain of the cap, a $21 million hit if they trade him. But, you know, his value is somewhat diminished by his age and his cost and all the drama that he's created. I don't know what the price tag is going to be. You know, if the Steelers hold out for what you'd think a player of this caliber is worth, you're not going to get it because of all these ancillary issues.
Let's examine some of the drama. It starts in training camp. I don't know if drama is the right word for it, although it was a very dramatic regal entry to training camp in a customized chopper with his family. Missed after, a meeting after, in September.
Dan, but it's important to point out, immediately following his proclamation that he's not going to be a distraction anymore.
Right.
I'm not going to be a distraction. And he lands the damn helicopter on the practice field. So, you know, let's go from
good
there.
Moment. Yeah.
He misses a meeting. He has his agent call Mike Tomlin the day of a ball game after skipping out on seeing the training staff on Saturday for an injury. He says, okay, he's good. Antonio's good. He can play. And Tomlin has to explain to the guy, that's not how it works. We have a system. And then he leaves the ballpark the day of their last game. Those are all selfish, unacceptable behaviors, but are they significant enough where you really would say this guy's a bad actor?
I think it was Mike Mitchell who came out today and said, everybody can say whatever they want. He's one of the best teammates I've ever played with. I mean, he's a guy who was a part of a winning team, a winning culture, a winning organization. None of this really started until last season. Remember, the first 7 years, there really weren't any issues. And so I don't know that he's the worst guy in the world. I mean, obviously, you saw him in the fur coat or the foul fur, whatever it was, at the NBA All-Star game and this and that. I'm not knocking, he was wearing a fur coat. I'm just saying him out front, you know, making himself very visible and present. So he's become a little different persona at this stage of his career. I don't know that you're necessarily buying a lot of trouble. I just think you have to be careful to understand exactly what you are buying and what you're willing to pay for it. And I'm going to anticipate, if not the next question, the question that I know is coming at some point. So who's in?
Right.
The team that jumps out to me and screams at me is the New England Patriots. Now, the Steelers allegedly have said there's four teams they won't deal them to, which is the other three AFC North teams and the Patriots. But they may not have that luxury, and I think they do have to deal them at this point. So there's other teams. I'm not saying
the Packers.
The Packers, I don't know that Antonio Brown's act is going to play all that well in Green Bay, even if he's not a bad guy. I just, you know, and it's certainly not a, you know, black and white thing. It's more of a just a, you know, not a team guy, you know, that's the perception, whether it's true or not. I don't know. As I just said, I think it was Mike Adams or Mike Mitchell. I'm drawing a blank on which one it was now.
You said Mitchell.
Yeah, I think it was Mitchell. Whichever one was a Steeler recently. I think they both were.
Mitchell,
the
they were. Mitchell was the, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So at any rate, I've heard the Packers rumored, you know, I don't know. I guess he's a nice compliment to Devontae Adams, but you know, if Geronimo Allison and Marquez, Valdez Scantling.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that they're all that desperate. They're outside the team that's really interesting. Interesting is the Houston Texans, because the Texans have a real need to pair somebody with DeAndre Hopkins, even if Will Fuller comes back healthy. At this point, I don't know how you trust him to be healthy, not that you can't trust him. And they got like $65 million of cap space, so the deal's not a problem. The other team that you need to keep an eye on is the New Orleans Saints. You know, maybe you do get one more year out of Breeze. Maybe you get two. Yes, Mike Thomas may be the best receiver in football, but they had nobody else this season. You know, and the guys that they're hoping to get back, you know, Cam Meredith and some of their injury guys. So I think it has to be a team that believes that Antonio Brown is the missing link for a Super Bowl.
I get the impression you don't think at this point in his career he's worth a number one pick, but will the Steelers get one for him? I got to think he's that valuable to somebody. I'd rather have proven commodity now than develop a guy at the position if it's a glaring need.
The most recent, I believe the most recent wide receiver dealt for a number one pick is Brandon Cooks.
And it was just Amari Cooper.
Amari Cooper.
Well, or yeah, he was more recent. They were both dealt in the last year or so.
Yeah.
Brown, at this stage of his career, well, let me get away from this stage of his career. The last time he was healthy and all this ancillary stuff wasn't going on, he was still a better player than those two. So you can justify a first round
pick. He's just 6 years older and more expensive.
Now let's keep in mind that when those deals were made, there was reason to believe that those were mid to late 20s picks. I mean, if you're looking at a potential top 10, top 12 pick, you're not going to do that. They may get what is expected to be a late one. I think they're more likely to be offered a 2 and a 3, couple twos, something like that. I'm guessing that'll get it done.
We don't have a ton of time, but do you think Colin Kaepernick plays football again in the NFL?
I think it depends on how much the settlement was for. And now they're, you know, I mean, again, the gag order is held pretty tight so far. At some point, it's going to leak out.
You think it will?
It's everything leaks eventually, you know. So I'm not projecting who or where, but it's going to leak. And it's not going to be from Kaepernick or from Goodell. It's going to be, you know, from somebody in one of their camps who, you know, does it for a favor or whatever. And once we find that out, I'll have a better sense of it. The initial reaction was he must have gotten, you know, 60 to 80 million bucks, because otherwise there was no reason to settle this. But Florio made a pretty good point today in that if he got that kind of money, why would the NFL have agreed to allow him to play again? Because that's basically paying him for all of his lost, you know, time and service. I don't think they'd give him that kind of money and allow him another bite at the apple, because if he does try and get signed and he can show more collusion, he can sue again. That's pretty unusual. That suggests that it's less money than we think, you know, and I think he should play again. There's no doubt in my mind that he's better than at least 14 to 18 of the starting quarterbacks in the league right now.
Yeah, we saw Nathan Peterman start a game last year.
Josh Johnson hadn't played since 2011, and Washington brought him in.
You know, but everybody goes there, but let's make the bigger point. He's also better than Case Keenum. He's probably better at this point than Joe Flacco, because you can't trust his back.
Tannehill.
He's definitely, you know, to me, I'd rather have him. He may be better than Cam Newton right now. You know, I mean, the Panthers are talking about having a need at quarterback. So the idea that this guy isn't worthy of an NFL contract, whether you see him as a backup or a starter, that's absurd.
Well, agreed.
Hub was an outstanding contributor last night, Parkins, to Sports Talk Live on NBC Sports Chicago. And I agree with you 100% that even if Manny Machado would have been a White Sox, very few turnstiles get tickled as a result of it. Nobody wants to say that, but I believe it to be true.
I think TV ratings would go up, but as far as coming out to bubble, I'm not blaming Machado or Bales. You got to win, you know. And if they get,
and even when they win, people are
well. But I think if Machado came, or forget, he's not coming. If Harper comes, or if they get their guy and they start to win, I think you'll see a pretty instant, you know, turn at the cash register. But just because you're rebuilding and you get a big name, if you're still one of the worst teams in baseball, people aren't going to come out in the hopes that Machado hits a 500-foot home run that night.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
What do you got tonight on the show? I know you're on at 7.
Well, this is the story in the news of the day. I believe Lawrence is going to check in with me, even though it's his show, because he's a big Sox fan. I want to hear what he has to say. We've got Bruce checking in from Arizona on both ball clubs. I understand that this is clearly the story, but you heard this on the show last night, too. I continue to be fascinated by that Ricketts press conference yesterday. Mm-hmm. I know we're the home of the Cubs, and I got to, you know, drink the Kool-Aid or whatever.
You don't have to do anything.
I thought it was disingenuous and unimpressive. And somebody needs to explain to the Chicago Cubs that the only way this starts to go away is when we hear from Joe Ricketts, not from his son. I hope that will not happen. You're probably right. But yeah. I mean, but I expect his son to love him. I expect his son to believe he's a better man than what this says. But nobody's disputing that he wrote those things and saved him for, what, 4 or 5? I mean, that's beyond dumb. That's because he obviously believes it. I know you got to run, but we started talking about this yesterday. I got the invoice for our tickets, well before the emails leaked out. And then I try to separate these things because I'm going to love the Cubs regardless, and I'm probably going to keep my tickets. But over the weekend, the more I thought about this, I started feeling bad about giving the Ricketts family tens of thousands of dollars. And I get my money's worth, and I go out there and all that. But I don't like spending money with people like that. And so I think they better figure out that what they're doing so far isn't working. And we're going to talk a little bit about that, too.
Okay.
Hub coming up at 7 o'clock tonight after Bears All Access.
And by the way, we'll probably talk a little football. So.
Okay.
That's good. No, Hub's talking football. I never would have guessed it.
Bruce Levine joins us in less than 30 minutes. Bob Nightingale has the figures on exactly what the Sox offered. We'll get into it coming up on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.